establish the evidence base, but just to give you some context here, there are over 1 billion persons worldwide who have no access to water from improved water sources. So they collect drinking water from unimproved surface sources such as ponds and streams and shallow wells and so forth, none of which are safe. But in addition, there are hundreds of millions, countless hundreds of millions, maybe billions more, who collect drinking water from improved sources, but it's unsafe drinking water. And this photo here is just one example. This is a woman in Peru who's getting her drinking water from the municipal water system in Piura. And that's through a clandestine connection. The pressure in the system is insufficient to bring the water to the home. And so she's getting water that's probably no safer than the water that the people are collecting from the pond in the photo above. There's another dimension to this problem. So even those families who are lucky enough to collect safe water from an improved and a safe source may end up drinking water that has become contaminated during the time they've transported it home or stored it at home. And these two pictures here illustrate how that can happen very easily. This young boy in Mozambique is bringing water to his home in a bucket on his head, probably from that hotel in the distance, and you can see his hands are in the bucket and in the water, and whatever's on his hands is going to be spread around, shared with whoever drinks that water. So the long-term solution, I think we all recognize, to this long-standing problem is to ensure universal, continuous access to piped, treated water in homes, and that's a goal which, unfortunately, is still many decades away. So what happens as a result of drinking this unsafe water is that each year, worldwide, there are billions of episodes of diarrheal diseases and other diseases, and each year an estimated 1.8 million children, mostly children, die from waterborne diseases. Mostly these are diarrheal diseases, and various people have sort of done the math, and it works out to approximately 5,000 children who are dying each day from diarrhea acquired from unsafe drinking water. This is a map from a recent publication in The Lancet. It shows the worldwide distribution of child deaths. You can see they cluster in Asia and Africa. Each dot represents 5,000 deaths, which, coincidentally or not, is about the same number of children who die each day from unsafe drinking water. So this is all-cause mortality. There are an estimated 10.6 million children under 5 years old who die each year in the world. It's actually come down a bit. I think there's a more recent estimate. We might be just under 10 million. Still a lot of preventable mortality. I think some of you are familiar with the Millennium Development Goals, and goal number 4 is to reduce childhood mortality. Specifically, target 5 is to reduce it by two-thirds between 1990 and 2015. So that would be the elimination of about 7 million annual child deaths by the year 2015. And if we could, if we were able to eliminate all of the nearly 2 million childhood deaths that are attributed to unsafe water, we'd be a good part of the way towards achieving this goal. So I'm going to tell you about, briefly describe two simple, practical, and inexpensive interventions, household water treatment and then hand washing, and present in summary fashion the evidence that's accumulated over the years which suggests they can improve health and contribute to a reduction in childhood mortality. This is a photo. It's a little hard to see, but this is a Kenyan girl who's getting a glass of safe water, and it illustrates the two sort of operating principles in household water treatment. In the background, you can see a blue and white bottle of chlorine. That's a dilute solution of sodium hypochlorite. It's marketed in Kenya for treating water at home. And in the foreground, it's a little hard to see, but the container she's getting her drinking water from is not a bucket. It's a modified water storage vessel, which up at the top has a narrow neck and has a lid on it, and at the bottom you can see there's a spigot in it, so she can take the water out of it without having to dip in or have her hands or objects get into the water. So those are the principles. Just to do a little more background, there are 4 well-established ways to treat water at home to make unsafe water safer to drink. They're shown here, chlorination. Flocculation disinfection, I won't say much more about that, but if you're lucky, there may be time for a demonstration of that wonderful technology later in the program. solar disinfection and filtration. All of these are simple, they're low cost, and they've been well documented to reduce diarrheal diseases. Boiling is probably the best known and most widely practiced method to treat water at home. But unfortunately, it's actually one of the more expensive, more complicated, least practical, and surprisingly least effective ways. So I won't say much more about boiling, but I will talk a bit about these. And the treated water, of course, has to be stored safely to avoid recontamination in the home, and any number of containers, including those shown here, will accomplish that. And now I'm afraid I've run out of time for background, and so we're going to have to dig into the evidence. So here we go. Tom Clausen and his colleagues conducted a review. It's a meta-analysis of 38 independent comparisons from 30 trials. It was published. The trials were published between 1982 and 2004, and they were all water quality interventions. It involved a total of more than 53,000 study subjects, and his review was published in the Cochrane Library in 2006, and he concluded that, in general, such interventions were effective in reducing episodes of diarrhea, and that household water treatment interventions were more effective in preventing diarrhea than interventions at the water source. He published more recently an updated version of this review in the British Medical Journal, expanding it through 2006. There were 42 comparisons from 33 reports in 21 countries, and the conclusions were basically the same, but the authors noted here that some evidence was found that household-based water treatment interventions are capable of levels of effectiveness roughly comparable to certain other environmental interventions to prevent diarrhea, such as improved sanitation, hygiene, hand washing with soap, and improved water supply. So household water treatment is a relatively newcomer to the field. Water supply, sanitation are fairly well established, and it's perhaps you don't have the perspective that I do, having gotten into this early, that this is a real paradigm shift in water and environmental sanitation. Moving right along at a brisk pace, this is the forest plot from that publication. It shows those studies that had risk ratios on the top half, they're for all ages, and the bottom half, those are those studies that looked at children under 5 years old. You can see they're all to the left of that no effect line at one. I have all these papers with me, by the way, if somebody wants a copy. So, continuing with water treatment, and I think I'm going to be about 10 minutes behind schedule at this rate. And I just can't go any faster. I could skip slides. So this review was published recently by Benjamin Ardle and Jack Culford, 21 studies only looking at chlorination. So Tom's reviews looked at all water treatment methods in the home. This just at chlorination, and again, they concluded here that the intervention reduced the risk of childhood diarrhea, a relative risk of 0.7, and it reduced the risk of stored water contamination. There was microbiologic testing with E. coli, and that relative risk was 0.2, so about 80% effectiveness at reducing contamination of the water. And another forest plot, again, all those studies, 9 out of the 10 studies found a reduction in diarrheal diseases. These are just the studies looking at children under 5. They did find a problem, and I could skip this slide, but to be fair, I won't. What they found, this slide shows the relative risk, so the effect on the y-axis, and the length of the study on the x-axis. And what they said is that there was an attenuation of the effect. So the strongest reduction in diarrhea happened in the short studies, but as the studies went for a longer time, that effect was less pronounced. And they, I think, correctly suggest that we need longer studies to really evaluate the long-term sustainability and acceptance and effectiveness of this intervention. Okay, another quick comparison. This is from Futrell and colleagues looking at a number of different studies, 46 of them, comparing water, sanitation, and hygiene, and reduction with chlorine solution. I think you can see here 50% reduction in diarrheal diseases. The next highest reduction is hygiene, and we're going to be saying a bit more about that in just a second. So those were all studies that looked at morbidity, reduction in diarrhea, but I haven't told you about any studies that look at mortality. And, you know, makes sense to me that if you reduce diarrheal diseases in young children, you are going to have an effect and reduce mortality as well. But for logistical reasons and for ethical reasons, it's not been possible to conduct a study that has mortality as a primary outcome. But there was one study, this was it, published in the British Medical Journal, and it did find a significant reduction in all-cause mortality among families who were in the water treatment arms. One arm got chlorine solution and the other arm got Pure, the flocculant disinfectant, and combined, there was less mortality in those intervention arms than in the control arm. So that's the strongest evidence we have. Closing out safe water, children aren't the only beneficiaries. This is a study published in 2005 from Uganda, looked at HIV and diarrhea among persons with HIV who were randomized to either get the CDC safe water system or chlorination at home, basically, and those randomized to serve as controls, and diarrheal disease episodes were reduced by 25% in those patients, and they actually had 33% fewer days of diarrhea. Last slide on water, it's about cost effectiveness, and it's from Lauren Holler and colleagues at WHO, recently published. Basically, here on the y-axis are the dollars per DALY averted, disability-adjusted life year, and on the x-axis, there's five different scenarios, or five different water and sanitation interventions, and you can see that chlorination here is literally hundreds of times less expensive than improved water and sanitation, for example, piped water and sewage connections. I'm not showing this to suggest in any way that we abandon efforts to provide pipe-treated water or sewerage to those in need. I just show it, sort of make the point that for a few dollars, almost rounding error, we could do some things today that would keep children alive until the infrastructure interventions, the sewerage, the water treatment systems and sources can be put into place. Okay, so probably about at time. If you want to hear about hand washing, Mary, I knew Mary wouldn't cut me off for hand washing. That's one of her favorite interventions, so I can continue. The evidence here, there's somewhat less, but there are a couple of good studies. This was a systematic review with a random effects meta-analysis of the effect of washing hands with soap on diarrhea risk in the community. It was published in 2003 by Val Curtis and Sandy Cairncross. And they identified 17 relevant studies. There were seven intervention trials, and these are between 1981 and 2001. And their conclusion was that the pooled relative risk of diarrheal disease associated with not washing hands from the intervention trials was 1.85. And that implies that hand washing could reduce diarrhea risk by 47%. Here's that forest plot. You've seen it. Any questions can come later. This is a study that was done in 2004, so it wasn't included in that review. It was published in JAMA by Steve Luby. It was done in Pakistan, and it also showed a significant reduction in diarrheal disease risk of about 53%. What we have here are controls in the upper line there, and then these are two arms, families that got soap and families that got antibacterial soap. And you can see there's really no difference. The antibacterial had no additive effect. It was simply getting the soap and washing the hands. They were visited and encouraged to wash their hands. They reduced diarrhea by 53%. So another publication came out of that same study about a year later in The Lancet, and this looked at the incidence of pneumonia in those families. And again, we see the same thing with controls here on the top, and a marked reduction, about a 50% reduction over the course of the study, in pneumonia in children in the families who either got antibacterial soap or plain soap. And this finding, as it turns out, is also supported by results of other trials. So this is the last meta-analysis, just published this month in the Cochrane Library. Jefferson and colleagues reviewed 51 studies looking at reducing the spread of respiratory viruses. And those studies included six case control studies of frequent hand washing, and the authors concluded that the highest quality randomized clinical trials suggest respiratory virus spread, think flu, think the common cold, can be prevented by hygienic measures around younger children. And here is the final forest plot. You kind of can't see the trees for the forest here. Just to close out, again, returning to HIV/AIDS to show that children aren't the only beneficiaries of these interventions, again, published this year a randomized trial of patients with AIDS who received either an intensive hand-washing intervention, they were phoned once a week, were encouraged to wash their hands, they kept daily hand-washing and diarrheal diaries. The other half were not randomized to this. They were also phoned once a week. They also kept hand-washing and diarrheal disease diaries, but they weren't given any promotional messages. So what they found is that patients in the intervention group washed their hands more frequently, and they developed fewer episodes of illness. There's a p-value here of less than 0.001, and you can see the number of episodes of diarrhea in control compared with the hand-washing interventions. There's also some really interesting microbiology that I won't go into, but I do hope I've convinced you that household water treatment significantly reduces diarrheal diseases in children and in persons infected with HIV, and that hand washing significantly reduces diarrheal diseases in children and in persons infected with HIV, and also reduces respiratory illness and pneumonia in children. Thanks.